but you can also tap into the skill sets of the different people on your team. And people love being able to show that off. And so if that's vulnerability, great. But that is also a way to kind of showcase their talents.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok. My guest today is Rob Ferrey. Here's three facts you should know about Rob. He worked at Walt Disney World as a Jungle Cruise skipper and Haunted Mansion butler. Two exciting roles that need to be on every resume. Number two, he was the halftime game show host for the NBA's Utah Jazz. And number three, he is a proficient player of the nose flute. And perhaps we'll be blessed with a performance today of the nose flute. And for those who don't know what a nose flute looks like, it looks something like this. I'm not sure if I'm doing it right.
Yeah, that was the first song that came to my mind. Here Comes the Bride. I also do weddings.
Rob Ferrar, welcome. Welcome to your intended message.
Yes.
Rob, among many things, you are a performer. And before the pandemic, you were traveling around the world performing. One of your talents or skill sets is as a game show host, and you would do that for the corporate audience.
Yeah.
And tell us why. Now, that's an unusual way to present a message, but why is that such an effective way to get a message across in a game show type scenario? Why does that work?
Well, I talk about gamification in some of my presentations, and I think gamification is one fun way. It's an interactive way, and it's a way to engage an audience in different ways that they don't normally see. And people love to win, and they love to win free stuff, and they love to compete. And so it's just another way, a different level for people to engage with each other and also to engage with a message. I actually sometimes take the methodology that I share and put it into a game. And when I teach this to other speakers, I give them different ideas of how to take the knowledge that they're going to give to their audience and put it into a game so that they can retain that knowledge. You know, I talk about it in different ways like reward, retention, recognition. And these are different ways people can take their methodology, their teachings, and create a more engaging experience for their audience. And so I can say, you know, these are the five steps that we can do to increase our communication, to have better communication. You know, these are whatever it may be, right? And so I may teach those things, but they may not retain that knowledge. And so we come back later on in the presentation and I do maybe a family feud type game. I call it the feud. We'll call it communication feud. And then I say, what are the top five, you know, steps for retaining, you know, for having better communication with your staff, whatever it may be. And then we play a game and now they are retaining that knowledge. They have had that touch point once and now they're getting a touch point a second time through a game, and now we're also testing their knowledge and they're competing because they want to win that prize, and now they're using that. So that's just one example of how I use gamification within my presentations. And going back to the game show host thing, it's just kind of happened by accident. When people always ask me, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I say, I'd be a game show host. But right now, all the game show hosts that are on TV are celebrities, or they were comedians or something like that. So I just decided to carve my own path and just start doing my own game shows and incorporating it into my messages. and doing events for, you know, corporate events and working with the Utah Jazz.
When a client contacts you and says, we want you to help us out, we want some team building, or we want to recharge people, and you describe the game that you might use, do they ever go, oh, our people are beyond that? Do you get that kind of pushback?
Well, the real crux of the question is you got to dive deeper than that, right? You have to ask questions like, why are you doing this? Who's going to be in the audience? What's the context? What's the meeting about? What's the goal you want to achieve? What do you want them to learn? And so if they come up to me and they say, we want to do a game, I'll give them options. And especially when it comes to this virtual world, we're doing a lot of things virtually. And so I want to say, do we want to do teams or do we want to do individual games? How do we want to do this? How do we want to structure this? Do we want to create camaraderie? Do we want to increase in communication? Do we want to teach something, or do we want to just entertain them? And so there's different ways to kind of tackle gamification or games or team building within that context. And so I have to ask multiple questions to kind of really find out, what is their why? Why do they want to do this? What is the intended goal? What do they want their participants to leave knowing or having felt, or what is it? What's the end goal? And so that's pretty much where we go from there. And then I can create a game or suggest games. And I have lots of games that I've created for other clients. And then I have existing games. And I just try and find what is the best fit for this group.
Why do you think it is that people are willing to engage in a silly, which is often a silly game? Like...
Yeah, you know, not everybody who engages in a silly game, you know, not everybody will want to do it. But, you know, here's the other funny thing is a lot of people like to watch. People are entertained by watching their coworkers, their other people being a part of it. You know, and it's funny because sometimes you don't get that communication from your audience that they're enjoying something. And I know you've interviewed my friend Jason Hewlett, and he has this whole song about, he does a parody to the song Sound of Silence by Simon and Garfunkel, talking about how engineers internalize their reactions. And sometimes, you know, people in the speaking industry, like, they didn't laugh, they kind of chuckled, or they didn't really perk up at all. But some people came up to me afterwards and they're like, that was the best presentation ever, you know? And so you got to just kind of go with it. And you could be silly, you can be funny or whatever, but you also got to figure out, how do I engage them? Because you don't make it about you instead of just a performance. This is my methodology, if anything. I want to make it about them in the sense of, how can I bring them into this moment? And that's what games really do. And different games can elicit different reactions. You know, the competitive nature, the nature of somebody who likes to show off or be in front of an audience, or being able to show off their knowledge. You know, there's different ways to do that, you know, and I have a variety of games that do that. When I've been doing games in front of a live audience, there are games where I can do, you know, a dance contest, and that gets people going crazy. And some people would never do that. But some people like to show off their knowledge of pop culture. And I have a lot of games that are pop culture related. Some people are quick on the trigger finger, and they can corral a group, and they can lead a group. And so there's so many different games that you can do. And I like being able to explore that game with the people that I work with.
Do you imagine that when people play a game, when they enter a game, isn't an escape for them, escape out of their normal day-to-day drudgery of the work that they might be in? Or is it a chance for them to reveal some inner imagination, imaginary person that they want to be?
Yeah, it's a good question. So when you go to a play, well, at least this is for me, my wife and I, we love to go see Broadway shows. And when we go see a show, we love to be able to escape and be in that universe. It's the same thing with, you know, people watching movies and things like that. People sometimes like to insert themselves into that moment, into that movie, right? And so we can do the same thing with games. We can take them out of their mundane day-to-day activities. And right now, during this pandemic, for those of you who are watching or listening, this is happening still. This is October of 2020. We're still in the middle of it. And a lot of the meetings that we're having are virtual. And people are getting Zoomed out. You know, a lot of people are, Zoom is the most popular platform right now. And so people are constantly getting on these meetings and they're just like, they're tired of it. So this is the world we live in. So how do we make it a little bit more entertaining? How can we get it a little bit more engaging? And how can we get them to actually turn on their cameras, perk up, smile, laugh a little bit? And that's kind of the goal of what we can do and what I can help people achieve in their meetings, in their conferences. And if that, I can even teach them to do that on their own for their own team meetings, I'm happy to do that as well.
Now, Rob, let's take you up on that last offer. Let's say it's the weekly meeting or the monthly meeting that people are getting together on Zoom or Teams or such, and it's a business update. How might they use gamification or game application in their meeting to add just a little bit more fun to it while they're still conducting business?
Yeah, so you got to know how your team would react. So there's different ways different teams are motivated. Gamification can help motivate a team and get them to kind of work harder, do what you need them to do. So that could be one goal. If you don't want to motivate them and you just want to entertain them, games work that way as well. And so I'm going to give you a couple of examples. If you want to motivate your team, you have a running tally and score of certain things that they have to do. You know, people that showed up on time, people who showed up early, people who commented during it. And you could have a running tally like so-and-so has engaged this many times. And then that could be one way of doing it. But there also could just be, hey, we're going to take a short break here and we're actually going to see if you guys read your emails this week. I sent you guys an email. At the end of the email, I asked you this question. And then they put it in there. Okay, perfect. You know, George, you get 3 points for actually reading the email and answering that question that I had at the end of it. And so now you're playing a little game with them. It could be a scavenger hunt as well. Okay, I sent you a couple of emails back. At the end of the email, there's a giraffe there's a giraffe at the end of the email or whatever. What was the image of that animal? And then they can type it in the chat. So that is just one way, but you could create some games, right? And I do a lot of games that live within PowerPoint. I use what is called Keynote. And you can create games there. I do images. I do like half images. Like I've created a game with car logos. You can do a simple thing like that where it shows half the image and like, okay, this is, what logo is this? What are we missing? And then you can do that. But these are just very simple games that you can do. You can do general trivia, but I like images, but I also get inspiration from existing game shows, from different podcasts that I listen to. And you can do a simple game. You can have 5 questions. Also, there's platforms out there. For educators, there's Kahoot. I use one that's called Mentimeter. And you can create your own games on there where people can log in on their phone, on their browser. And you can actually have a running score. And you can have actual people winning the game. And so these are different ways that you can have people engage. And I'm kind of giving general kind of ideas. And if we want to go more specific into it, you know, this is something I actually do consult with people. And some of these ideas I just gave to you now just came off the top of my head. This is how I work with people. I did a presentation for some speakers the other day, some speakers out of Florida. And there was this presenter talking about how can I do this game? How can I speak on this topic? And her last name was Currents. And I said, well, why don't you do a spin on currency? Because she speaks to financial people. And I say, well, why don't you just do images and say, okay, what country is this from? Or what currency is this? You know, the current currency with Jennifer Currents. And that is her name. And so people are going to look her up. But she just sent me a message on LinkedIn today. And she said, your presentation was very impactful because I actually started using that game. And I created a game. And I don't know if it was that exact game, but I gave her that as a suggestion. And she said she got immediate feedback that that was the most entertaining presentation they've ever had. Which is crazy to me because all they had to do was just insert a little bit of interaction, a game, something that is thought out and prepared. And that gave her some shining reviews, a great recommendation. And so I said, can I quote you on that? And so that's just one idea where you can just take something very simple, put your name on it or put a twist on it. And I've done the same thing for people like at Match.com or Edward Jones. I've done, you know, with Edward Jones, I did the currency game, you know. For Match.com, I did celebrity matches. I would show a celebrity and who is their match? Who is the person they're connected to, right? So Kanye West, Kim Kardashian, John Legend, Christy Teigen, right? And so they're finding their different matches. And so once again, pop culture, you can do anything and you can do it on a theme. People love themes. Sorry, I'm building upon this, but themes are always fun. We're in the middle of October. This might drop in November. So you can do something about food, Thanksgiving food. When it comes to the holiday season, you can have a theme where people show up to the Zoom conference in their ugly sweater. You can have an ugly sweater contest. You can have an eggnog drinking contest. You can send everybody some eggnog in the mail. I don't think that would work, but you can have some sort of eating contest. There's so many things that you can do that are interactive and just creates more camaraderie between a group and an organization.
Do you think games appeal to our need to see you and others around us in a vulnerable state, to be more open instead of that closed, okay, here we are in a meeting, everybody looks serious? Is you think it's that need to be vulnerable?
Yeah, I don't know about vulnerability, but I think games tap into different skill sets, okay? Different team members have different skill sets, you know, and there's people who are maybe more intuitive, maybe more people that are more competitive, maybe people are more athletic, maybe people know more about pop culture. And so instead of creating vulnerability, and you can create vulnerability through a game if that's the goal of it, but you can also tap into the skill sets of the different people on your team. And people love being able to show that off. And so if that's vulnerability, great. But that is also a way to kind of showcase their talents. And so different games can tap into different skill sets of each people on your team. And so you can find different ways to highlight, to showcase who they are and give them an opportunity to shine in a group team setting or in a game setting. And that's why I like to play different types of games. And so, because sometimes when I do games, there are certain people who just dominate the game. And then there's people who are just kind of waiting in the wings and not really interacting. And so that's why I like to play a variety of games, from all play games to team games to pop culture games to general trivia to history to even things where we have to use engineering ingenuity, right? So that would be like where you have like a, where you have to build something. And so those different types of games can engage people in different ways in their brain, in their skill sets, and let them showcase their talents.
So engineers will play willingly different games than people in marketing might be willing to play.
Right. Yeah, I would think, you know, engineers, they would like a different type of game than somebody who are in sales. Sales are typically you're extroverts, right? And they're a little bit more competitive as well, especially if they're in commission sales. They're constantly competing against each other and against themselves to get that sale. But engineers, sometimes they might be more siloed. They could be just like, I'm working on my one project, or maybe they work together as a team. So you got to figure out what's the best game, but maybe you want to flip it and maybe you want to test their other type of, you know, skill set. So like, well, a lot of my guys are siloed and I want them to kind of be able to consult with each other more, and let's do a game that actually requires them to work together. And so you can do breakout rooms where you have everybody break off, do a thing, and then they all come back and then they show off their projects, or they do the thing and then you score it, you rank it, whatever. That also works as well.
And I think I'm hearing, Rob, that the concept of games is actually bigger than what we might first immediately think. So I'm hearing It could be a quiz. It could be a project, a problem to solve. It could be an individual activity. It could be a group. So there are different types of activities under this title of games.
Yes. Yeah. Anything can be a game.
Now, Rob, if I were to come to you as a podcast host and say, Rob, how do I add games to my podcast, my interviews? What ideas might you throw at me?
So a lot of the late night show hosts do this wonderfully. And a lot of them, you know, the person that probably plays the most games is Jimmy Fallon. He plays games with his guests all the time, and they're amazing games. And you can do a game that you do typically every time, so everybody knows. So we have the three-question game. I'm going to ask you a series of three questions, and you can send them to in advance, or you can do that. I just recently did a podcast with my friend Jim Christian, who is a Disney fanatic, and it was my wife and I. And what he does is he has this little pot, and you pull out of the pot, and in the pot, there's a question, you know, who's your favorite Disney character, or what's your favorite Disney ride? If you could have a superpower or any Disney superpower, what would it be? Things like that. And that's a type of a game. Like, there's no winner or loser, but it's game where they're just picking out a question, and you can do a randomizer or whatever. So you can do that as well. If you're doing it virtually, you can have a wheel of questions, and you can do that as well. I use what is called Wheel of Names. So this is for you, George. You can go to Wheel of Names. Instead of putting names, you can put in questions. So you put that up on the board, and then you spin the wheel, and then it lands on something. And then there's a question, right? And the question is this, whatever. And so they can answer the question, or they can pass. You give them an option. So, and then the faster they answer it, and you can have a time frame for it. Now I'm just riffing here. But you could say, okay, we have the fast five. We have 5 minutes to answer five questions, and we got this wheel of questions. I have 10 questions on here. Are you ready to go? Yep, here we go. Vroom, you know. Or you can say, we have five questions. We have to do it under 2 minutes, right? And so that is one simple game you can do with them. Or you can do a little bit of research on them. And then you can say, okay, I went to your LinkedIn, and I did a little bit of research, and I looked at all the different jobs that you had. We're going to be talking about your jobs, you know, so love it or hate it. You know, you give them a choice, and that's one of an easy game. So here are your jobs that I've been going through. Did you love it or hate it? You know, that might not be a good game, but once again, I'm just riffing off the top of my head. But this is where you get to highlight your people, the people that are on your podcast, because that would be the purpose of the game, is to highlight them. Not necessarily make it a competition, but something that is fun, create some impact. You can put some music on, and they do this game at the end of your podcast. Or you can do it in the middle. There is another guy, his name is Josh Gondelman, and he has this podcast where it's a game show. There's no points, but basically at the end of it, he donates to the charity of choice of his guest, but he asks his guests a variety of questions that are just super random. You know, it's like if you were to go on a vacation and you only could pack two pieces of clothing in your, you know, what would it be? Or, you know, just kind of random things about their life that makes them think. And it's more entertainment for him. But if you want to do something that's kind of more like educational to your podcast listeners, you can skew it in that way. So there's so many different ways. And I get inspiration from everything, from TV shows, from game shows, from late night, and from podcasts. And it's just kind of observing the world around me and seeing what other people are doing, because I don't come up with all these things on my own. But sometimes I just see what sticks to the wall, you know, as the old saying goes.
I'm wondering, Rob, growing up as a child in a student in school, were your teachers telling you, Rob is never serious, he's always fooling around?
That could be true at times. My choir teacher, we had in choir, we had this mirror in front of in front of all the kids that sang, right? This is in high school, so I say kids, so that's students. And she put that mirror there on purpose. It was the full wall, full length wall mirror. And she wanted us to be able to see how we sing, how we vocalize, how our throats move, and things like that. And I would just make faces, or I would look at other people and just try and make them laugh. And I remember one time she stops and she says, "Do you ever..." What was the thing? I think she said, "Do you ever get sick of looking at yourself?" or something funny to that effect. And I just was like, and she really just kind of put me on the spot right there. But you know what? It is who I am. It was my birthday a couple days ago, and I asked my friends to give me one word to describe me. And my wife, who probably knows me the best, used the word childlike. And so she just says, "You have just a childlike way about you, that you always like to play, you always like to explore, you always like to ask questions and just have fun." And so, yes, I could have been the class clown at times, but also I did it out of a way just to entertain people. Just like Jason Hewlett, I don't know if he talked about how he would make faces and just have fun with people. Exactly. It's just kind of in our nature, just to, we're natural born entertainers who just want to create levity and give people a moment to check out and have some fun. And so that's what we do. And that's kind of why I got also into the DJ business. Last night I did a wedding, and it's just so fun to watch people celebrate, dance, and have a good time. And so I got this all started you talked about it. I worked at the Jungle Cruise in Orlando, Florida. And if you've never been to the Jungle Cruise at the Magic Kingdom in Walt Disney World, then you're in for something else. And it's just a bunch of dad jokes making fun of animatronic animals. But that was my dream job, just to entertain people and just have fun with people.
Childlike, Rob Foray, right? Is childlike. Now that's interesting, because perhaps that's the attraction of games. Perhaps, yeah, it appeals to our inner child, our suppressed child. It allows us to be a child again.
Right. Yeah. And also, if you're looking kind of to escape that, I have my friends, the Katekis. They have what is called Escape Adulthood, which really is these programs that are helping people revert back to childlike behavior. Because what we do is, I was watching a performance by David Byrne on HBO, and he talked about how as babies we had, I think it was, maybe the term was neurons. We had more neurons as a baby as we do as adults, because we slowly chip away at it. But as a child, as a baby, we have all these different neurons where we want to learn, educate, absorb, and experience things. And then as an adult, we kind of chip away at it, and we just kind of get comfortable with what we have. I'm not a scientist, so I'm probably not putting this in the right context. But the point of it is as we grow older as adult, we chip away at those things, and we say, I must be serious about this. I can't be silly. I must focus on this, and I need to make sure that I do this, this, and this, and I can't enjoy this. Like, I have Mr. Baby Yoda here, like, to keep me sane, to have some fun here. I have my nose flute here. I have my incredible sunglasses. I have my suits over here. I just have different things just to have fun and just to kind of take a release out of what is normal, because everybody kind of reverts into what society says we need to be, and we need to kind of fit into this box, and we got to do our thing. We got to wake up at, you know, 7 a.m. and go to work and do our thing, get our projects done, and whatever it may be. But having more of a childlike expressibility to be able to dive into this world and see it in a way like as if we were children. And that's kind of how I approach life. I'm very inquisitive. I love to explore. And that's the thing that I miss most is traveling. When speaking, I love to go explore new places. And I've spoken to multiple chapters of the National Speakers Association during this COVID experience. And it's been an awesome experience. But the thing I miss most is going to their towns and being able to explore their towns and being able to go out to dinner with them and having these conversations. And so we're just trying to find different ways to interact and to connect with people. And a lot of it is virtually LinkedIn. But if anything, we can have those experiences through gamification, kind of coming back to that. That's why games are so much fun, because now we're interacting with people in a way we didn't think we would. And that's why dancing is good. That's why music is good. It helps connect us. And I also speak on what is called musical empathy. And musical empathy is something that I've been working on and researching. And by research, by observing people on the dance floor and how they react to music. And last night, I've been doing this wedding, and the majority of music was country music. But at the beginning of the night, I was playing popular songs that a lot of people knew, a lot of people danced to. But this particular couple, they didn't give me a lot of direction as to what music. Once I started getting their requests, and once I started playing their requests, they started lighting up and interacting in a different way. And I was like, ah, now we got it. And once I kind of hit that spot, when I found out the songs that they liked, the country songs, it just struck a different chord. And that's what music can do. A lot of them were just sitting around drinking. But once I hit the right song, and the song that made them all light up was Friends in Low Places, right? It's just everybody knows this song and everybody's singing along at the top of their lungs. And that's the great thing about music is people are now connecting in a symbiotic way that they wouldn't have otherwise. They are singing to the same song at the same time and communicating in a way that is completely unique when it comes to music. So that's just another way to connect. And so I answered your question, I think, but I also went down a different track right there. So,
and
for those of you following along,
you were just playing games with me here. And Rob, in I'm going to wrap up with one final question. If you were forced or limited to only one game for the rest of your life, what would that game be that you would be willing to play all of your life and no other?
Oh, dear. That's a good question. That's a really tough one, because there are so many games out there that would be good that have a variety. I'm going to give you two answers. One of the most compelling games that I do is Deal or No Deal. When I did that for the Jazz, and people love that game where you have to choose the different cases and see what money's inside of it. Because people who play that game are playing on behalf of everybody in the audience. Everybody is rooting for that person to win that money, but everybody is also thinking, I would choose this case, and everybody's rooting for that person to win. It's just such a great and compelling game. But I think a game, if I were to keep playing, I think it would just be Jeopardy. Jeopardy is just general knowledge, and I think it's one of the it's a simple game, but it's such a good game because it covers so many things in life. It covers a whole variety of topics, and you learn along the way. And I think that's the most important thing, is learning and growing and knowing more about this world. And that's what Jeopardy does. As simple as it may be, Jeopardy is a very universally known and beloved game.
You can learn more about Rob Foray at his website. It is Rob, and Foray is FERRE.com. That's Rob Foray. He is the virtual game show host and MC. He's the one that will help you use games in your learning, your communication, and have some fun along the way to tap into that inner child, because sometimes we have to escape adulthood.
If you like what you heard, remember to like, comment, and share this podcast. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.